We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
Live from America's finest city, it's the John Cantara Show.
Oh, doctor!
Now, here's the coach, John Cantara, on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to 97.3 The Fan. Coach John Cantara with you from now until 3 o'clock. Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving and had an opportunity to spend it with family and friends. And Braden Soprenant with me today. We got a lot to talk about within the last hour. There's a reported trade the Padres are going to make with the Oakland Athletics. It's not official yet, but the names are starting to leak out. It looks like the Padres, if they're able to get this deal consummated, they're going to pick up a very talented ball player, even though to this point in his career, he's vastly underachieved, but he got tremendous athletic ability. And that second baseman from the Oakland Athletics, former Texas Ranger second baseman, Jurickson Profar, at one point in time, one of the top prospects in all of Major League Baseball, but due to some injuries early in his career and some inconsistencies, he really hasn't put up the numbers you would like to this point. And we'll get into Jurickson Profar. I can tell you this. It's an upgrade on what the Padres had with Luis Urias. This Profar, even though I've not been a big fan of him because he has vastly underachieved at the big league level in my estimation, he's a great athlete. He's a tremendous athlete. He's a switch hitter. He can cover a lot of ground defensively, and he's going to hit with a little bit of power. The question is he going to hit for any kind of average? This past year, he hit .218, had only a .301 on base percentage, which – we got a lot of those guys in the lineup here in San Diego right now. But for the second straight year, he did hit 20 home runs and drive in 67 runs. And again, this trade is not official. It's reported going to be coming down, but nothing official. And what we've found out here in the last couple of minutes, the Padres really not going to give up a whole lot. They're going to give up catcher Austin Allen from what we're hearing. And again, this is all, backroom work by Braden and myself right now. We're hearing it's going to be Austin Allen and a player to be named later. So I want to get you on the phone and it's probably going to happen, but again, the Padres are not talking. The Oakland A's aren't talking right now. But this guy is a very talented ball player, and maybe getting back with an organization. And when I say organization, I'm talking about getting back with A.J. Preller, because A.J. Preller was with Texas when Profar was signed, and he was coming up through the ranks as one of the best players in the minor leagues and all of Major League Baseball. I mean, this guy was a top two or three prospect at one point in time. And it just hasn't worked out. I mean, he broke into the big leagues back in 2012, only had 17 at-bats in nine games that year. Then 2003, 85 games, 268 at-bats, hit .234. 2014 or 15, he was out with injuries. He missed two full years. He was out with injuries. And then 2016, he came back, played 90 games, hit .239 with a .321 on-base percentage. 2017 hit in 58 at-bats, only hit .172. And then in 2018 with the Texas Rangers, he started to put it together. Really his best year. He hit .254 with 20 homers and 77 RBIs. And then this last year with Oakland, played a lot of ball games. Played in 139 ball games, 459 at-bats. He hit 20 homers with 67 RBIs and again a .218 average and a .301 on-base percentage. And he's a guy, to be honest with you, with his ability, if he can just kind of tighten some things, he's a guy that should probably hit probably about number two in the order for the San Diego Padres. But, you know, you got to hit better than .218 and you got to put the ball in play. You know, looking at him as an athlete, this guy's one of the better athletes probably going to be on the Padre ball club if they officially get this deal done. No question about it. So I want to get your thoughts on this. Padres are going to have a really athletic infield. I mean, you got Hosmer at first, who's got to be better than he was a year ago with the glove. The guy's been a multi-gold glove winner, but didn't play that great at first base last year, from my view. Second base, you're going to have a really talented guy. At shortstop, you're going to have one of the up-and-coming top players in all of baseball at any position in Fernando Tatis Jr. And you got the superstar at third base, Manny Machado, who had a good year last year, not a great year. I think Manny's going to be much better. So the Padres got better today. In fact, the Padres got better last week, too. I mean, I was excited. Now, Zach Davies, when we were on the air on Wednesday, we talked about Zach Davies, and I know a lot of people had already pretty much checked out and were getting ready for the holidays. But that deal with the Milwaukee Brewers last week, that is a good deal for the San Diego Padres. Trading Urias, moving him out, moving out Eric Lauer. They get a starting pitcher in Zach Davies, good major league experience, still only 27 years of age, and they get a really, really athletic left-hand hitting outfielder in Grisham. I like the moves the Padres have made. Profar, if Profar could ever, and I don't know if he can, I don't know if he can ever live up to what people projected for him when he was signed and was coming through the Texas Rangers organization, but least of all now, maybe the old proverbial change of scenery will help him get back with some guys he knows from the Texas Rangers organization. Want to get to your phone calls today on this? We got a big show. We got three great guests. We got to get to Aztec basketball. We got to get to Aztec football. We got to talk a little NFL today. We're going to talk a little NBA. Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. I bring in Braden Soprenant. Braden, you and I have been out and about all morning. We were at a big meeting here in San Diego. We stood the studio when our phones beeped and that this deal was maybe going to be consummated today. But, man, what a weekend you and I had calling high school football to close out the 2019 season.
Yeah, it was a great weekend. Friday night, Black Friday, was a tremendous performance by Tyler Buckner. Oh, my goodness, what a football player he is. And he's only a junior. He's coming back next year. He had 8 touchdowns on Friday night. And I calculated it. If you were to have him in fantasy football, I know this is a stupid thing because he's a high school football player, he would have had 105 points. He would have had 105 fantasy points on Friday night. I mean, that's amazing to me, the numbers he was putting up. I think he had, 8 touchdowns, 3 of them passing, 5 of them rushing. He had over, 600 yards of offense.
Yeah,
he had
350 yards rushing, 286 yards passing. The kid from Bishop's in a losing cause in one of the craziest football games you'd ever want to see in the Division II championship last Friday night here on 97.3 The Fan in our radio.com app. El Camino came back with 55 second-half points and defeated Bishop 75-59. And, Braden, not only was that the highest-scoring game I've ever done in high school football in 30 years, that performance by Tyler Buckner, and I've seen some pretty good performances over the year, that was far and away the greatest single game performance of any player I have ever broadcast in 30 years of doing high school football.
You said it best during the broadcast on Friday. You said, how are you going to be able to, and you said it off air, and I ended up saying it on the air, but how are you going to describe this game to somebody else? And it's funny you said that, because I went out, hung out with some of my friends that were in town for Thanksgiving. We don't get to see a lot. And I meet up with them in PB, and the first thing goes, oh, how'd the game go? And I said, well, if you have 2 hours, I can explain to you exactly what happened.
Well, first of all, you got there about an hour and a half later, because the game took forever the other night with 75 and 59 points being scored.
I even missed some of my friends. Some of them went to bed early, I guess. They were calling it a night. I mean, one of my friends, him and his wife, he's married now at 24, and he called it a night at 10:30 in PB. And I was like, 10:30, man.
Good way to stay married.
I was like, wow, you and they went out from 8:30 to 10:30, had some wine, and then they went home. And I was showing up, and me and the single people went out from 11:30 on. But I was amazed. I tried to explain to people and some of my friends what happened in that game, and I told them, I said, the final score is 75-59. I did a football game, a high school football game. I didn't think Bishop's and El Camino could score that in a basketball game if they went against each other in basketball.
They might not.
It was a big weekend here in San Diego. The Aztecs won in football. It's a big win for the Aztecs, beating BYU. It's always a fun one. And then basketball this week over Thanksgiving, San Diego State basketball had a great performance. And we were talking about going to that tournament. Hey, maybe they could beat Creighton and play a team like Texas Tech, and we'll see how they do. They end up winning the tournament. They didn't get to play Texas Tech, but they beat the two teams that hammered Texas Tech. And really good performance by San Diego State basketball. They come in at number 28 this week in the top 25 polls, just receiving votes. But you know, the Aztecs, they got a nice schedule coming up, and I could see them racking up even more wins. It's exciting times for the Mesa over there at Montezuma Mesa.
Well, a little bit disappointed when we were at this meeting today. Braden and I, we're kind of waiting to find out the rankings and where the Aztecs would be ranked this week. Well, they're not ranked right now in the AP poll. I guess if you're ranking them, they're about 27th or 28th this week. They did not make the top 25. So that's kind of BS. We're going to talk more about that in our next segment. Hey, next week, for all of you out there that are into baseball and are fired up about the winter meetings coming to San Diego, next week we're going to have wall-to-wall coverage of the winter meetings. And my show here is going to start at 10 o'clock Monday through Thursday. We're going to be on from 10 to 2, and then Gwen and Chris will be on 2 to 6. And, of course, the morning show, they're going to go from 6 to 10. So it'll be 6 to 10 Benton Woods. Coach will be on from 10 to 2, and then Gwen and Chris will be on from 2 to 6. And, again, that's going to be brought to you by the San Diego Honda dealers. And, Braden, next week is going to be awful exciting for all of us that love baseball. And, you know, I was thinking about this last night when I was at home watching the Sunday night game. You know, now that we're in December, December is going to be a very, very busy month for us here at 97.3 The Fan, and you and I in particular. But once we come back January 1st, we're not that far away from spring training and getting Padre baseball season going again.
I can't believe it. I mean, it's like I feel like the season just ended and we're already getting ready to start. And I'm excited to see what other moves the Padres might make potentially during the winter meetings.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm excited is A.J. Preller is going out and getting some ball players in here. This Grisham kid they got from Milwaukee got a chance to be, I think, a really, really nice major league player. Zach Davies is going to definitely help the rotation. And if they pull off this deal with Oakland, reportedly for Jerks and Profar, even though he hasn't lived up to what people have thought, the kid still is only 26 years of age. He won't turn 27 until the latter part of February. Want to get your thoughts on that? Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Coming up at 12:45, we're going to visit with Greg Bell from the Tacoma News Tribune, get his thoughts on the Seattle Seahawks tonight, hosting the Minnesota Vikings in a game you'll hear right here on 97.3 The Fan. At 1:35, we'll talk NFL with our buddy Clark Judge, Talk of Fame Network, and Andrew Grief going to join us at 2:35 from the LA Times. He covers the Clippers, and they drilled the Wizards yesterday at Staples last night, 150 to 125. We'll talk about the good start for the Clippers. And my Lakers, man, they couldn't get it done against Luka Doncic yesterday in that afternoon affair at Staples. They ended up having their 10-game winning streak go by the boards. When we come back, we'll get out to your phone calls, and we're also going to talk a little Aztec basketball. Coach John Quintero, we're going to 3 o'clock. Thanks for joining us right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Well, 21, Coach John Quintero with you to 3 o'clock. Hope everyone had a great holiday. Braden, you drove around quite a bit on that rainy Thanksgiving Thursday, didn't you?
I drove all over San Diego County on that rainy Thursday. In fact, when we got back, you know, my family was like, we're never doing this ever again. Because we used to do that all the time when I was little. And, you know, we'd drive to both grandparents' house and try to, like, you know, be on both sides. And then for a long period of time, we're like, you know what, we're just going to go to one. We're going to alternate. And then my grandfather on my mom's side wasn't doing very well the last handful of years, so we ended up doing both so we could see him. And then, of course, this year was the first year, you know, my grandmother without my grandfather, so we had to make sure we go to both.
Right.
But after this, it's just too difficult, especially in the rain. And then my dad said it too, because, you know, my dad drove all of us, but it's like, I don't want to put my entire family in a car in the pouring rain on a holiday.
It rained a lot in a short period of time, too.
And it was a lot, yeah. And, you know, it's just kind of not safe and stuff. So I think we're going to just be going to one and then switch off every other year. But it was fun, a good time. We got to see a lot of family members. We had dinner at my cousin Mikey's house. He had a tremendous food. I mean, his food was tremendous. And then we went to my my dad's side of the family in Lakeside for dessert afterwards. But it was a fun holiday. Good seeing a lot of, you know, friends and family. And Looking forward to Christmas the next time we'll meet.
Absolutely. And again, I want to remind everyone, the winter meetings start next Monday. We'll be broadcasting from 6 until 6. The morning show will be on from 6 to 10. I'm going to go an extra hour. We'll be on from 10 to 2 next week. And then Gwen and Chris will come in from 2 to 6. And again, that's brought to you by the San Diego County Honda dealers. Okay, Braden, before we get into Aztec basketball, and again, we're going to do Coach's Corner a little bit early because we got Greg Bell coming up from the Tacoma News Tribune to talk about the Seahawks and the Monday night game. But I want you to mention what Jeff Passan tweeted out regarding Jerks and Profar. And again, folks, if you missed it, the Padres reportedly are trading for the second baseman of the Oakland Athletics, Jerks and Profar, also a former Texas Ranger. He was there with A.J. Preller when A.J. was scouting the foreign countries down in the Dominican and Venezuela and all that. So reportedly, the Padres are going to give up Austin Allen, the left-hand hitting catcher who's come up through their organization, and a player to be named later. But go ahead and mention what Jeff Passan had to say.
So Jeff Passan was the first one to report that the Padres are going to be giving up Austin Allen, reportedly, and a player to be named later for Oakland A's infielder Jerickson Profar. Profar, by the way, including in his tweet, was likely to be non-tenured before 8 p.m. Eastern deadline tonight, and Oakland wound up getting Allen, who's 25, with some pop. On the Padres' end, Jeff Passan says, quote, this is his tweet, tweeted about 36 minutes ago, Jerickson Profar should slot in at second base for the Padres, rounding out an infield of Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr., and Eric Hosmer. If San Diego gets the 2018 version of Profar, that's one of the best infields in baseball. Of course, the 2019 version of Profar struggled mightily. So, I mean, we talked about his stats, you know, in the first segment, you know, nothing, you know, to write home about in terms of the stats. His home run numbers are pretty good. You know, he tied a career high 20 home runs in back-to-back seasons in 18 and 19. So you get some pop out of that bat, 27 years old, you know, a guy that kind of going into his prime of his career. So hopefully you can hit him at a nice spot and, you know, hopefully can provide some power to this offensive lineup.
Well, and the other thing about Profar, people have to understand, he actually is a switch hitter. So, you know, he's not a guy you're going to only play against a certain type of pitchers. You got to be able to run him in there day in and day out. And again, he played 139 games this past year for Oakland and 146 for the Texas Rangers. Early in his career, he missed the 2014 and 2015 seasons with injuries. All right, Braden, let's talk about the Aztec basketball team. I'm disappointed. I think they earned a top 25, taking down Creighton the other night by 31, and then they ended up coming back and taking down Iowa out of the Big Ten. Aztecs right now at 8-0. They open up conference play Wednesday night at Moby Arena in Fort Collins against Colorado State. The Rams will come into that ball game at 5-3. They got one of the better big guys in the conference, 6'11", 245-pound center Nico Carvacho. But at the bottom line, you go back to the game on Thursday night, Thanksgiving night at the Orleans Arena. Aztecs shot 55.8%. They were 11 of 18 behind the arc that night. And they were 14 of 18 on free throws, and they walked away with a win 83-52 over Creighton. They led 40-25 at halftime. Malachi Flynn, who eventually became named the MVP of the Continental Tires Las Vegas Invitational, he had 21 points that night. And then Friday night, he came back and had 28 points, Braden, all of them in the second half on 9 of 9 free throws. And Aztecs came back from trailing early in that ballgame to Iowa and won at 83-73. And once again, the Aztecs shot 51.9% in that ballgame, and they hit 18 of their 19 free throw attempts. And I'll tell you, the Aztecs are going to be good as long as the big guys, Johnny Wetzel and Mensah, Nathan Mensah do a great job inside and protect the rim and get some low post touches and some easy points. Their backcourt is really, really good. I mean, Malachi Flynn, I'm real impressed with him. KJ Fagan, I thought, played great the other night. He had 10 points in the win over Iowa. And Jordan Shackle, you get him out on the wing, he's pretty deadly from long range. So Aztecs looking good. They're playing defense. Defense can show up every night, Braden. In offense, these guys are really shooting better than any Aztec team I can really remember in recent memory.
Yeah, when we talk about San Diego State basketball, what has it been? It's been defense. It's been defense that's keeping them in games. It's been defense that gets them into the tournament.
They've never been a real great shooting team.
No, they haven't. It's been defense that's really led the Aztecs to everything that they've gotten in that program, and even that year where they went 34-3 with Kawhi Leonard. I mean, that was a defensive-oriented team. Kawhi
Leonard. He was never a great shooter at San Diego State. No. I mean, when he got his points, it was going to the rack and dunking on people.
Yeah, so to see this San Diego State offense, do a lot better, doing a lot better, basketball more than football, it looks like right now in terms of their offense. But when you're talking about San Diego State basketball, I think the biggest key is, not only the kid from Washington State that transferred, but the Vanderbilt kid, Wetzel, that comes in, because he's got some size and muscle and some, I don't really want to use the word girth, but he's thicker than a lot of the other guys that the San Diego State usually had. They usually got some thin big men down in the paint, but you got a guy down in there that's physical, that can battle for rebounds and get boards and do a great job of the paint. I think that's a huge asset for the San Diego State Aztecs. And if you look at the remaining December schedule that on that sheet I put in front of you, I mean, they got Colorado State, who's 6-3, San Jose State's 3-5. They play San Diego Christian. They play Utah at Staples Center and Cal Poly, who's 1-7. I mean, not that difficult of a road for the next five games. You start going through here and racking up wins, and are they're going to drop some games down the stretch? I mean, it's really hard to go undefeated in any type of sport, let alone college basketball. But they got a really good chance of having one of the best starts in San Diego State basketball history, especially with the schedule that they got in front of them.
Well, I look at the rankings right now. Utah State, who's the media picked them to win the Mountain West Conference, they're 7-1. They slot in right now in the AP voting today as number 25. They're not in the coaches poll. They'd be 26, followed by Florida, be 27. Texas Tech would be 28th. And the Aztecs are behind St. Mary's. So, and St. Mary's actually was the team that got beat by Utah State. Utah State's going to be tough. They got four of their five starters back. They're feeling pretty good about themselves. And I haven't looked ahead to the schedule, but I was reading something yesterday. If the Aztecs can kind of just keep doing what they're doing, they could be like 13-0 when Utah State, that first time they play Utah State. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, if you're San Diego State, I mean, if you split with Utah State and the way that your resume is right now, as long as you don't drop any games you shouldn't drop, I mean, San Diego State's looking at an at-large bid right now. If you sweep Utah State, I mean, it's almost like, I wouldn't say guaranteed in, but you're looking at a probably a guaranteed spot in the tournament. As of right now, going into this week, Joe Lenardi doing his bracketology deal, which started even before the season, making all those brackets and what have you. Going into the Thanksgiving tournament in Vegas, he had the Aztecs first four out. And now he's got the Aztecs with a 7 seed potentially. So, it's good. They put on a really good show in that tournament, and they did what they needed to do in order to put together a nice little resume, a couple more wins here and there, and they all of a sudden get an at-large bid, and they don't have to win the conference tournament in Vegas, which has been the case for the last handful of years.
I think it's safe to say right now, aside from the Mountain West Conference, just in California in general, I think the Aztecs have the best Division I basketball program in the state of California right now. UCLA's not up to snuff. SC's 7-2, but they haven't really played anybody. When they have, they've gotten run off the court.
Stanford.
Cal, Stanford. I mean, no, those are just kind of out there again. I mean, what can I say? The Aztecs right now have the best Division I program in California record-wise. We're going to get to the bottom of the hour. We got some news.
Padres have made it official. They have officially tweeted out on their account. The Padres have acquired infielder Jerickson Profar from Oakland in exchange for Austin Allen. It's official now on the Padres.
Say anything about a player to be named later?
Does not.
Does not. Well, we'll keep working on that. So there it is, sports fans. Jerickson Profar coming from Oakland to San Diego to secure that second base spot. Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We're going to 3 o'clock. Then it'll be Gwen and Chris for a short bit tonight because we got a great, great football game tonight. We got the Minnesota Vikings taking on the Seattle Seahawks. You're going to hear it right here on 97.3 The Fan. We'll come back. We got Coach's Corner. We're also going to be going up to Tacoma and get a little preview of Monday Night Football from Greg Bell of the Tacoma News Tribune as well. Coach John Quintero, thanks for tuning in daily, 12 to 3, right here on 97.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, You deserve an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, it's official. Jerickson Profar now on his way to the San Diego Padres for a young left-hand hitting catcher, Austin Allen. Could be a player to be named later, going from the Padres up to Oakland or cash considerations. But Jerickson Profar now going to be a member of the San Diego Padre organization. Hey, want to remind everyone, look good this holiday season with Supercuts and keep looking sharp all year long. Go to 973thefansd.com and sign up to win a year's worth of Supercuts. Courtesy of 97.3 The Fan and Supercuts of San Diego. By the way, your haircut looks absolutely spectacular.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm very happy about that. You look great calling those ball games on Friday and Saturday night down there at Southwestern College.
With a nice clean cut.
No question about it. We're going to get to phone calls shortly. We have Greg Bell coming up from the Tacoma News Tribune. Give us a little Monday night preview. We're going to be carrying the ball game right here on 97.3 The Fan. Great opportunity for Seattle tonight to tie the 49ers. Boy, that was a ball game yesterday in Baltimore. They kick a field goal to beat the 49ers on the last play as time expired. But a good one, and I think the 49ers found out a lot about themselves yesterday, and they're definitely going to be in the mix come playoff time. We're going to get to our Coach's Corner a little bit early because we're going to have Greg Bell coming up here shortly, but today's Coach's Corner brought to you by Penske Ford in La Mesa.
Down the biggest stories in the world of sports
right now.
That was the adult in the gym.
In the Coach's Corner on 97.3 The Fan. Number one.
I got to do the head bobbing on a Monday after Thanksgiving with the Coach's Corner bed. We're not going to take it by Twisted Sister. Anyway, let's get to today's Coach's Corner. We got Josh Shaw is in the news. Apparently, he was betting on games that led to Arizona Cardinals suspending him. And involved in one of the bets was a three-team parlay that included an Arizona Cardinals game, which led the NFL in part to suspend Cardinals defensive back Josh Shaw for violating league's gambling policy. Shaw, who's been injured reserve since August, has not played since signing with the Cardinals last March, but made a parlay bet on Sunday, November 10th at Caesars Palace Sportsbook in Las Vegas, according to the sources. The bet was on the second halves of three Week 10 games, the sources said, and included the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who were leading the Cardinals 17-13 at half. Buccaneers were one-point favorite for the second half. They failed to cover a second-half spread, but went on to defeat the Cardinals 30-27. Shaw's bet lost, according to the sources. Interesting to see players making bets on games with gambling becoming legal in more and more situations. Do you see this occurring a little bit more often now?
I'm surprised we don't hear about it a lot more often. I remember, I was only about 5 years old when Alex Karras and Paul Hornung got suspended by the commissioner for an entire football season back there in about 1963. I'm surprised we don't hear about this more often.
Let's move on to
number two,
college football news, where Rutgers sources said that Rutgers is going to bring back Greg Schiano for a second stint as head coach. Of course, when he was there, they're doing a lot better than they are now. They're in the Big Ten, not doing so hot. Probably one of the worst conference realignment moves, to date with Rutgers joining the Big Ten. Do you think Greg Schiano puts them back to where they want to be?
I think Schiano was miscast when he went to Tampa Bay for that short-lived job as the head coach. I think he did a great job at Rutgers. That's why they're bringing him back. He's getting a really, really good deal. He was going to walk away if they weren't going to give him a few things to where he thought he needed to have to really compete in that conference. I think he'll do a good job, but it's going to take him 5 years. That program's in a total shambles.
Number three.
Speaking of coaching moves, this just happened not too long ago. Chris Peterson, the head football coach at Washington, is expected to step down after the Huskies bowl game and be replaced by defensive coordinator Jimmy Lake, school announced on Monday. As part of the shocking announcement, the school said Peterson, who's 55, will transition into a leadership advisory role within the athletic department. It has been a privilege and a professional dream fulfilled to be part of this world-class institution, Peter said in a statement. I will forever be grateful, honored, and humbled to have the opportunity to coach our fine young men on Montlenk for these past six seasons. Do you think Peterson's actually stepping down? There are rumors thrown around there that USC might now go after him. What do you think about Chris Peterson stepping down at Washington?
Well, I'm surprised, but I'm not surprised. Chris Peterson's a little bit of a different breed. You know, when he took the Washington job, it almost like at one point in time they had to twist his arm. He really didn't want to leave Boise State. I mean, he got a lot of great memories up there. Who knows? Maybe he's moving back to Boise. They said he's going to keep a role there at Washington, but, again, that can change in a heartbeat. He said he wanted to recharge his batteries. Well, at the SC job right now, they still have a head coach, even though Sports Illustrated yesterday tried to fire Clay Helton. Clay Helton, from what I know, is still the head coach and is going to be the head coach. I've heard a lot of positive things. We'll see where it goes maybe after the bowl game. But I imagine Peterson probably going to take at least 1 year off. I don't see him going from one Pac-12 school to another Pac-12 school that quickly.
Number four.
Jacksonville Jaguars are going to keep Gardner Minshew at quarterback for the rest of the season, sending Nick Foles to the bench. Doug Marrone announced this on Monday that rookie Gardner Minshew would be the team's starting quarterback for the last month of the season, putting supposed franchise quarterback Nick Foles on the bench just 10 quarters after his return from a broken collarbone. I did see a fake trade proposal out there where the Eagles trade for Carson Wentz, so the Jaguars get Nick Foles back. What do you think about Nick Foles not being able to play for the Jaguars, but leading the Philadelphia Eagles to the Super Bowl? And do you think the Eagles would be better off with Nick Foles on their team?
I don't know what's going on with Carson Wentz. I don't know what's going on with Doug Peterson. I mean, he took the blame for the loss yesterday. I mean, the Eagles have completely lost it. I mean, that's an awful division. The Cowboys are a mess. The other two teams, hey, watch out for those Redskins. They won two in a row. But at the end of the day, I just don't know what's going on. You know what? Nick Foles had failed in a lot of different spots, but the one place where he really succeeded was with Philadelphia. And good guy, and he's got that long-term contract, so he's not going to retire now. But remember a couple years ago he talked about retiring after that Super Bowl?
That's right.
You got to kind of wonder, is he mentally all in right now?
Number five.
Last one of the day, Auburn fans stormed the field at Jordan-Hare Stadium after beating in-state rival Alabama in the Iron Bowl on Saturday night. And now the university has to pay the price for the celebration. On Monday, the SEC announced that Auburn will be fined $250,000 for its fourth violation of a conference policy prohibiting fans from accessing the field. The policy, which restricts access for the safety of participants and spectators alike, and is the responsibility of each member institution to uphold, which was adopted in 2004. It imposes a $50,000 fine for the first offense, up to $100,000 for the second, and $250,000 for the third or fourth offenses. According to the news release from the SEC, the money is deposited into the SEC Postgraduate Scholarship Fund. What do you think about storming the field and having to pay fines for it?
Well, I don't like storming the field, and I don't like them to have to pay fines. I mean, they've got security. If security can't hold them back, then you know, I don't think the school should be liable for that. My only question about that game the other day, did they ever get that girl out of the hedges?
That's right. That's pretty funny on the It's tough jumping down on the field. It's a big drop. People don't really understand.
She's going to be hungry by now.
That was the Coach's Corner.
Yes, indeed.
On 97.3, The Fan.
And our Coach's Corner today brought to you by Penske Ford in La Mesa. Well, we'll go from the Coach's Corner. We're going to go up to the Pacific Northwest. Great football game tonight. Minnesota Vikings coming in tonight at 8-3. The Seattle Seahawks sitting at 9-2. Great to have with us a man who covers the Seahawks for the Tacoma News Tribune, Greg Bell. Welcome to 97.3 The Fan. Greg, how are you today?
I'm good, John. How are you? $250,000 for Auburn, that's probably what they sold in popcorn and hot dogs on Saturday. That's no big deal.
Yeah, exactly. I would agree with that. Hey, first of all, this time of year, I got to ask right off the bat, what's the weather like tonight at CenturyLink?
Funny you should ask. I'm outside at a lake next to my house in North Seattle. It's about 50 degrees, sunny, no chance of rain tonight. It'll be in the 40s, about as good as an early December day can be in Seattle. Weather won't be a factor. Shouldn't be wind. So, no, this should not be at all a factor tonight, which is unusual, of course, in December.
Boy, the fans ought to be coming out in droves tonight with the 49ers getting beat last night. The Vikings coming in, they're 8-3. They're a good football team, really playing pretty well the last few weeks. But the Seahawks, with a win tonight, they'll tie the 49ers for first. But right now they have the tiebreaker over the 49ers.
They do, John. And then they have the 49ers coming up here in week 17, the last game of the regular season. If the Seahawks win tonight, they are on track to potentially get the second seed, a first round bye, and a home game in the playoffs. And you can, and I'm sure you know, and the listeners know, the stats towards teams that make the Super Bowl after having home field and a bye in the playoffs. It's an astronomical advantage in January. The only three times the Seahawks have been to the Super Bowl as a franchise has been with home field advantage throughout the NFC playoffs. New Orleans is the only other two-loss team besides San Francisco and Seattle at this point. And New Orleans beat Seattle. So if they both, in week three of the season, appear in CenturyLink Field. So if they happen to both win out, New Orleans would get the one, Seattle would get the two. But Pete Carroll has talked since the day after losing in the playoffs at Dallas last January. The key to their regular seasons are to get home playoff games. And they haven't had them for a while. They've had a couple in the wild card round, then they have to go to the division round to Atlanta or to Carolina. That's been the end of the road for them. If they can get a two seed and jump from 5-2 tonight and even possibly win out, they're at the Rams, they're at Carolina, then home to Arizona and San Francisco to end the season. But to have a first-round bye and home playoff game, it would be really, really big and boost to their chances of making the Super Bowl.
Greg Bell, our guest from the Tacoma News Tribune, he covers the Seattle Seahawks. You know, I'm looking at the record. I mean, sitting at 9-2, and you're talking about home field advantage. They haven't been overwhelming at home this year. Their two losses are both at CenturyLink. They're 3-2 going into the ball game tonight at home.
Right, and they won by 1 point against the 1-11 Bengals team in the opener. They've malfunctioned at home. They've had one of their worst games in many years against the Saints, who were playing their first game without Drew Brees in week three. Lost that game, and it wasn't even as close as the final score. They should have lost to the Rams. If Greg Zuerlein makes a kick that he normally makes in the 40-yard range at the end of the game, they would have lost that one. They're undefeated on the road. The first time in franchise history, they're 6-0. Up until the San Francisco game, they were a soft two-loss team. They really hadn't beaten anyone definitively with a complete game. Then they go to previously unbeaten San Francisco and just lay it on them on the line of scrimmage. They end up winning in overtime, but they dominated the line of scrimmage, specifically with Jadeveon Clowney. It was the first time since they signed him or traded for him in September that he looked like they had a three-time Pro Bowl edge rusher. He then missed last week's game against Philadelphia. He was seeing a specialist, Dr. William Myers, who's noted for surgeries for core muscles. Doug Baldwin, Marshawn Lynch, others in other sports have gone to him for that. But Clowney told me on Saturday he talked Myers out of surgery and said he wanted to play this season out and finish the season and try to maintain with some treatment, therapy, and everything, pain management. But there may be surgery in the offseason for him. He's, of course, pending a free agency here in March. It's contract ending. He's a huge difference to this defensive line and pass rush. The Seahawks did not have a pass rush for the first nine games of the season. They were 25th in the league in sacks. Then they get 5 sacks, 10 quarterback hits against Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco to win that game. Tonight, it's hugely important that they stop Dalvin Cook to affect and get a pass rush after Kirk Cousins, who quietly is having a year almost as good as Russell Wilson, 21 touchdowns and only three interceptions.
Greg Bell, join us here on 97.3 The Fan. Again, we'll have the ball game for you tonight right here on 97.3 The Fan. Minnesota and Seattle, that game going to kick off at 5:15. Bobby Wagner, the middle linebacker of the Seattle Seahawks, has been doing it for a long period of time now. Is there a better middle linebacker in football than Bobby Wagner?
Well, John, there's some people east of the Mississippi who say Luke Kuechly, but he's had injury concerns the last few years. Wagner's done it consistently throughout. He's had a tougher role this season because they've been in base 4-3 defense so much more, and he's been down the field as a pass defender, but he's still the best there is. Highest paid contract for middle linebacker in NFL history this summer, 3-time All-Pro. The two franchise pillars of this team that the Seahawks decided we're going to go into the 2020s and pay more than anybody else with Bobby Wagner on defense, Russell Wilson on offense, and so far that's worked out. The reason the Seahawks play more base 4-3 than anybody in the league instead of nickel and passing downs is because of Bobby Wagner in the middle. Look for that tonight to continue. Michael Kendricks is banged up with a hamstring injury, their strong side linebacker, and even if he doesn't start, rookie Cody Barton does, I think they're still going to be in base 4-3 a lot to combat Dalvin Cook in the run game. Cousins gets the attention for the numbers, but it starts with Cook. He's a 1,000-yard rusher already this season. They throw off of play action quite a bit because of Cook running early in games. The Seahawks are going to try to take that away from Minnesota, and as odd as it sounds, make Cousins beat him. He's beaten him here before, a couple years ago, 2017. He led Washington late to a comeback win when they were heavy underdogs at Seattle. But I still think with Bobby Wagner in the middle of defense, stopping the run, and Dalvin Cook's the first priority tonight.
Greg, I got two more questions. And the first one is Russell Wilson. I've always admired him. I think he's fantastic. I thought there for a few years he was really having to throw to Joe Smith out there because he didn't, you know, they were kind of pedestrian receivers. He'd go to Doug Baldwin, but you know, they really never had that big game breaker. And now he's still getting it done, whether it's with his legs, with his arm. He's got all the experience. Talk a little bit about watching him and covering him and dealing with him on a regular basis.
He's a very interesting character. He's the player everyone sees the player. He's supremely positive. He's almost formulaic when you talk to him. He has a brand and a message. And he sounds like a coach. He parrots what Pete Carroll says quite a bit. But he also does things like go to Seattle Children's Hospital every Tuesday, every week of the year, to visit the sickest of the sick kids in one of the premier pediatric facilities on the West Coast and in the country. And he spends a lot of time with disadvantaged youth in the area. He and his wife, Sierra, are very active in the community. They bought a share in the Sounders, the MLS team. They bought a share in a new arena that in downtown Seattle that has been trying to lure an NBA team back here to town. He is all in on Seattle. And he told us last week, he said it again, actually, he wants to play until he's 45. He just turned 31 last week. That's 14 more years. That would be the longest that a starting quarterback has been in. At oldest he's been, Steve DeBerg was 44. Coach George Blanda played till he was 48, but he wasn't a starter his last few years with the Oakland Raiders in the 70s. I wouldn't put it past Russell Wilson to play past 45. He might go wherever past Tom Brady ends up being. He's young enough still, health-wise. He's never missed a game, let alone an in-season practice. He's got 27 total touchdowns this season against three interceptions. A 112 passer rating. His last two seasons are his most efficient passing seasons of his career. He's everything to them. And when they have to win the game in the fourth quarter, he does it. 31 comeback wins in the fourth quarter overtime since 2012 to lead the NFL, winning his quarterback in his first eight seasons. The only one to have a winning record in each of his first eight seasons. You know, on and on with what he's done here in Seattle. And they think he's worth every bit of $140 million.
We're visiting with Greg Bell, talking about the Seattle Seahawks. Final question. I got about a minute and a half. Pete Carroll, I've always admired him. I liked him even when he was coaching the New England Patriots and, you know, didn't get much of an opportunity. We saw what he got done at SC. He's doing it up there in Seattle. He's the oldest coach in the NFL right now. He continues to find a way to get his guys to play hard each and every night.
John, he really reinvented himself the last couple years. He had to change his message. He took to heart things that Richard Sherman and Michael Bennett complained about it being an old rah-rah message that players were tuning him out. So he got rid of Sherman and Bennett, and he started changing. He had a leadership council of veteran leaders on the team that he leans on for a lot of things, from uniform choices to discipline of players to changing on road games, for instance. If they win road games, they get, the veterans get to sit in first class and the coaches go back in coach class. Things like that. The music in the practices, rap music, and the visitors to practices, and Drake and Bill Russell, and it's always something new with him, and he's kind of reinvented himself to freshen his message. It's worth it. He got a new offensive coordinator, Brian Schottenheimer, last year, before last season, to replace Daryl Bevel, and he has invigorated Russell Wilson. He's gotten in on his eaches of fundamentals, and as I said, he's made him the most efficient passer he's ever been. So Carroll just didn't stand pat. He really has a lifetime contract up there. The current ownership situation, Jody Allen from Paul Allen after Paul Allen passed away in October, the keys of the franchise are still Pete Carroll's. He has told me he wants to coach until he's 74. That's six more years from now. But he's been very happy because it's his whole program. He brought the whole FC program up here to Seattle, which is why he left college football to do it. And so far, everyone has said it wouldn't work, and it has.
Hey, Greg Bell, thank you so much. What a great perspective you bring to the table covering these guys and talking about the ball club. Really appreciate the time. Good luck tonight, and stay warm up there.
We will. That's already pretty. 40 degrees is pretty warm up there, John. We'll take that. Not San Diego warm, but we'll take it.
Hey, we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Boy, what a great guy and a great perspective of breaking it down on the Seattle Seahawks. Greg Bell of the Tacoma News Tribune. Wow, that was really solid stuff right there, Braden.
Yeah, it was. It was good stuff, and I'm even more excited to watch Monday Night Football right now. By the way, sources are saying that the Reds might have reached an agreement with Mike Moustakas.
Really?
Cincinnati Reds, Mike Moustakas.
He'll hit 40 homers in that ballpark.
We can talk about that more later.
Okay, when we come back, we want to open the phone lines up. The Padres have made a deal to get Jerks and Profar from the Oakland A's. They give up young left-hand hitting catcher Austin Allen. Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Coming back, hour number two on 97.3 The Fan. Thanks for downloading the John Quintero Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.